of the stars that had sung more beautifully in his mind than any siren's lure. But it was fading now, slipping from his grasp like a dream, even as he reached out mentally to hold on to it. Disappointment washed over him. He stirred, rubbed his eyes. The man was still standing over him. Not one of the technicians he had seen earlier. This man was wearing a comfortable pullover shirt and creaseless slacks. He had a dark beard, an imperial nose, high cheekbones, skin tanned almost coffee brown. His gray eyes seemed restless, stormy. Feingold thought he had seen that face somewhere before, but he couldn't place where or when. "Who the hell are you?" Feingold heard himself grumble. Fine way to greet a stranger, he thought. The man extended a hand and helped Feingold to his feet. He was big, the scientist realized, tall and wide-shouldered. "My name is Keith Stoner." Feingold peered at him, still a little bleary. "Stoner." It all snapped into focus. "The Star Voyager. You've heard of me. I saw that message you sent. You've got everybody scared." Stoner smiled tightly. "Not everybody, I'm afraid." His legs feeling a little more solid, Feingold asked, "You're really from the stars?" Stoner nodded and replied with a question of his own. "Why did you come here?" Feingold grinned at him. "A chance to see the alien artifact? I should pass up such a chance." Smiling back, Stoner asked, "Was it worth the trip?"
"And then some."
"You found what you came for?" Feingold didn't answer, couldn't. His thoughts were too jumbled. Too much had happened, and all so quickly. At last he said,
"I found something. I can't get it all straight in my head."
Stoner didn't reply.
"It was beautiful, though. More beautiful than anything I've ever experienced."
"Good." Stoner gestured toward the open portal to the chamber. "We'd better start back up. The door will be closing again pretty soon." Feingold turned and stepped through the portal.
"I saw the beginning of the universe," he remembered. "I saw how it all started."
"Did you?"
"Yes. It was..." He groped for words. "I wish I could remember it all."
"I'm sorry that you can't," said Stoner as he started up the sloping tunnel. Feingold said,
"Me too." But then he thought, "You know, it doesn't matter. Not really. I mean, I saw it and I could understand it. I could understand it. That's what's important. I could understand it."
Einstein once said the most incomprehensible thing about the universe is that it's comprehensible.
"Yes," Feingold agreed, enthusiasm bubbling within him. "It doesn't matter if I can remember it all or not. It can be understood. If not by me, then somebody else. We'll figure it all out sooner or later."
Stoner glanced at him. "If what you saw was real, not an illusion, not a trick."
"It was real," Feingold said with absolute certainty. "That much I know."
A little uneasily, Stoner said, "You know, what you saw came out of your own mind. The artifact didn't put any new knowledge into you. It's a mirror, nothing more." Feingold looked sharply at him.
"In my own mind? What I saw came from inside my head?"
Stoner nodded solemnly. For several paces, Feingold said nothing, mulling this new idea. At last he murmured,
"That means I can understand it all. It's not beyond my comprehension."
"Apparently not."
"And if I can understand it, others can figure it out too, down to the 12th decimal place."
"That might be difficult," Stoner said. Feingold smiled like a boy anticipating his birthday gifts. Shaking his head, he replied,
"So it's difficult. So it takes generations to figure it all out. So we'll have to be patient as well as smart."
"Generations," Stoner murmured.
"I took a course in the philosophy of science when I was an undergrad," Feingold said. "Mostly bullshit. But I remember reading somebody who said that science is like a cathedral, with each new discovery like a stone that's added to the structure."
"But it's never finished," said Stoner as they walked up the tunnel.
"Maybe, maybe not. The thing is, it keeps growing. And this artifact of yours has shown me that we can understand it all eventually.
Good, said Stoner. Then the artifact's done its job.
You made the artifact?
Nodding, Stoner said, with the help of some technology I picked up among the stars.
Why? What were you trying to accomplish?
I wanted to tell the human race that there have been other intelligent species in the universe.
Have been?
Feingold asked. Instead of answering the scientist's question, Stoner asked one of his own. Would you be willing to help me?
To do what?
Your Archbishop Overmeyer is arranging...
He's not my Archbishop,
Feingold snapped. I just work for the guy. Stoner chuckled. Sorry, I misspoke. Actually, I work for the President of the United States. He works for the Archbishop. Grinning at the scientist's jaundiced candor, Stoner asked, Overmeyer's trying to arrange a conference of world leaders. Would you take on the job of bringing the world's top scientists together at the same meeting?
I could, but why?
I have something to tell them, Stoner replied.
Something?
Something important. Could you give me a hint? Stoner decided he liked Feingold. The man was tenacious in his own gentle way. It's about the survival of the human race, he said. About the survival of intelligence in the universe. Feingold blinked.
The whole universe?
Stoner nodded. Puffing out a sigh, Feingold muttered,
I'll tell the Archbishop about it. Tell him I met you out here and this is what you want.
It's what I need, Stoner corrected. What the whole human race needs. Feingold shook his head.
You think big, don't you?
Somebody has to, Stoner replied.
Chapter 8.
Still smoldering at how Stoner had tricked him, Tavalera worked for Sister Angelique, now full-time, on helping to arrange the global conference. He sat in a cubbyhole of an office next to hers. He returned to living in the apartment she had given him, although now he had the necessary security clearances to come and go as he wished. But still he was not allowed to communicate with Holly. No matter who he asked, no matter how he tried to maneuver around the automated circuitry, all his attempts to call the Goddard habitat were blocked. Permission denied, his desktop screen proclaimed. I'm sorry, sir, but you'll need special permission from the Archbishop's office to establish a comlink with the habitat, said a blank-faced young communications administrator. Tavalera replied, I'm working for the Archbishop's office, for crying out loud. The technician's expression didn't change by a millimeter. I'm sorry, sir, but you'll need special permission. Tavalera cut the phone link, snarling to himself, friggin' robot. Stoner claimed he's talked with Holly. Told her what's going on, why I haven't been able to contact her. Yeah, sure, Tavalera grumbled to himself, seething within. Like I can trust him to tell me the truth. Holly's probably forgotten all about me by now. Big fucking deal, he said to himself. Stoner screws with my mind and the new morality controls my body. No matter which way I turn, I'm just a friggin' pawn to them, a peon, a worker ant. But as he dealt with diplomats and underlings from a dozen different governments and religions, what struck him most was how petty, how small-minded they could be. They're all worker ants, he realized, and they don't even know it. The conference's main sessions had to be at a round table. There could be no head, no place more important than any other. Greater Iran would not be in any way subordinate to China, nor would China sit in a position that was deemed beneath that of the United States. The Russians, the British, the Indonesians, Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, wealthy nations, impoverished nations, none would allow any snub, real or perceived. They were quick to feel insulted, from Canadians to Mongols to South Africans to the Ona clans of Patagonia. At first, Tavalera couldn't see how anyone could bring all these touchy politicians together. But slowly, with enormous patience, Sister Angelique sweet-talked and smiled and cajoled them into a semi-grudging acceptance. Her strongest weapon was a barely veiled threat. All the others will be there in the full light of global publicity. You wouldn't want to be the only one missing, would you? What would people think? Stoner was nowhere to be seen. He stayed completely out of the picture.
His last words to Tavalera, just before he had transported him back to Earth, were,